Psalm 84. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Becher make it a well, with the rain also filling the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion before our God. O God, give me prayer and hear my word. All right. One of the things that we've advanced on since the last banquet, whenever that was, when we have preached upon the ganglionic process, cognitive dissonance, and we want you to think of that very carefully with us in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Now, the unique thing about the motor fiber nerves in the process of the ganglionic process is that these cells form very sensitive tissues around the central nervous system. And the ganglionic process affects the chemicals, the electrical impulses, and so many different things. If indeed I am physically ill or going through a hard time emotionally or am very weak for whatever reason, the ganglionic process works against me. The motor fiber nerves are attached to Adam, and even though I may not be living in a rebellious life, the motor fiber nerves are attached to Adam and not to Jesus Christ. Now, in the ganglionic process, we have the intellectual and industrial force, the activities. The nerve center affects our feelings, our responses, and our unconscious wounds, and that area of life which is not controlled because of our condition that we are in. For this reason, cognitive dissonance is a trauma affecting the psychological mind. It is more than just not appropriating the Word of God, as we said in the last message. It produces electronic discards, vibratory forces that sometimes have the power to make cells independent and to take them away from their collective force in the operation of God. For example, when 20,500,000 cells are connected to the lower cells, all of these tremendous cells and nerve impulses have to be properly connected in order for the emotions and the central nervous system and the mind to function properly before God. This is why when the Bible says that I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies to Christ, a living sacrifice, it goes far beyond a dedication of the heart, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, proving what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2, understood from the standpoint of the entire spirit, soul, and body, come together to give us our function. For example, in the decussations, which refers to nerve fibers, there's something else we have never said. This is a very important thing. The first decussation in the motor realm covers 90% of everything we do in the nerve fibers that provide the basis for all motor functions. They provide 90%. The remaining 10% of the decussated nerve fibers determine the individual's level of sensory perception, such as feeling, pain, temperature of the body, touch, also conscious and unconscious proprioception, which simply means governed by initiators, the proprioceptors and proprioinitiators, and affects the muscles, the tendons, and the joints in response to the stimuli produced within the body. Now you'd say, why do I have to know this? Well, you don't have to know it, neither do you have to know that you've got eyes and ears and tongue and arms and feet. Because behind every spiritual phenomena is a mechanical explanation. Behind every satanic act, there is a mechanical initiation to change the direction of the motor fiber nerves attached to the central nervous system or the old sin nature or perhaps Jesus Christ. Now, in the ganglionic process, we have this mass of nerve tissue surrounding the central nervous system, and it begins to control our feelings. In the first place, it produces a tremendous effect is the unconscious mind. Now, what happens in the unconscious mind, when the unconscious mind receives these wrong signals, you could say to me, and you'd mean it with all your heart, this is how it is. And you mean it. And your intentions indeed are not to be negative or rebellious or reactionary toward God. But the problem that we have is then that process, which we're growing in understanding because of deeper research yesterday, day before, from anything we've ever had. But somnambulism, which we have learned, is the unconscious mind in sleepwalking, making us think it is the conscious mind. But Satan's negative forces of demons love to use spiritual somnambulism through the hypnosis of the memory center and to get the unconscious mind becoming our conscious mind in levels of rationalization and levels of understanding ourselves without going to the cross of Calvary. So as you think of this with me, then the somnambulism is the unconscious mind dictating to the conscious mind. Now, then comes in the process that we've all studied of synapses, which enters into that chemical, produces the neurotransmitters and the neural receptors, or a chemical structure through the magnetic electrical waves. Now, what happens when a person has a nervous breakdown? What happens when a person is exhausted with fatigue? Well, there's certainly a lot of physical things that happen, but we're discussing some of those physical things. In the neurotransmitters and the neural responders and these several processes, by the way, the decussation of pyramids and the motor fiber nerves attached to Adam of Christ is entirely different than the ganglionic process. It's entirely different than the ganglionic process because they come from two different places or two different levels of either unity or independence. And these tremendously affect a Christian's nervous system. That's why Christians' nervous systems can go all to pieces. And that's why a Christian can go downhill rapidly, because of the organic, emotional, natural causes that produce literal, natural effects. So now, here's where God comes in. The Christians do not have to, and we are not, you're not, we're not, we do not have to be a group of people that only has one part of understanding the man, which is his spirit. We must understand his soul. And here's the thing. We must understand his body. This is why we have gone into the ganglionic process and cognitive dissonance, the decussation of pyramids, and the motor fibers, nerves, attachment. Now remember, when these cells, which can function just as forcefully independently as they do dependently through the electronic waves and the magnetic forces, this is what it produces. You got to listen carefully, it'll be right over your head and you'll be out of the ballpark. Here's the thing. When this takes place, then John 12:24, because it's affected, and except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. Now, literally, some of my nervous system, incoherently with God, not through intentional decisions, it now abides alone. So when it falls into the ground, it produces much fruit. In view of this, God wants to set apart my whole spirit, soul, and body. Now you say, why do I have to know all of that? You don't. But that's why psychiatrists are helping Christians while pastors aren't able to do it in some cases. Now the pastor, after describing this diagnosis and prognosis, a pastor, through the brokenness of Jesus Christ and his meekness, in 2 Corinthians 10:1, begins to come into the weakness of the whole person. The pastor is not subjective, but he begins to understand the whole person. His heart is open to the whole truth. Therefore, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when you come to Jesus, that doesn't mean just come to Jesus. You're already with Jesus. But it means you come to Jesus with the truth, and then he makes us free indeed. Now, so many times as a person goes from strength to strength, it is through understanding the deep calling to the deep. And in Psalm 42:7, the deep calling to the deep literally means the entire man. Way beyond anything you can see in the unconscious. Way beyond the subconscious. The depth of God's mercy, the depth of God's love, the depth of God's life, getting into the deep calling. Now, when we are hurting, when we are wounded, when we've completely been into the process of being defeated in certain ways, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that's when God's, the depth of his love, always calls unto the depth so that we can understand ourselves. Why should we let psychiatrists just teach this? Because they're not going to bring anybody to the love of God. I will never, as long as I live, forsake a person who's fallen, if they have fallen, down. I'll never forsake them. I don't care what they've done, I will not forsake them. I don't care what they're doing now, I'll love them. I'll be honest, I'll be truthful, but I'll be gracious and become their utmost friend. Because the only thing that is going to produce victory is the Holy Spirit, the abundant life. But it has to have, a person has to have an illumination and revelation of the whole man in some cases. Now, you may never have to have that. I'm not saying you do. But some people do because they've been through so much so long. They've been under tremendous burdens, tremendous problems that go way beyond your eyesight, way beyond anything you understand. It goes beyond just decisions. It goes beyond just failure here and there. It's going right in to the depth of the chemical, electrical waves, and magnetic forces of the entire man and all of his cells that join together. And when finally, and the only thing that God ever used to draw men and women was love. I will draw you with everlasting love, with loving kindness. I will draw thee, you are my virgins. And I hope you understand the isagogics of that. Love is the drawing force to get man back together. That is why Hosea 11 says he uses the cords of a man in the bands of love and takes the yoke from off the jaw in Hosea 11. That is why God says in Hosea that I'm God and not man, therefore I will forgive Ephraim. The only way that some individuals in every single church can be set free is through a love that will go deeper and deeper and deeper, so that ultimately no one wants to live in defeat if they've ever been saved. No one wants to live in sin if they've ever been saved and they have the Holy Spirit. They don't. Some are just plain hurt, wounded physically, psychologically, and emotionally. And out of weakness, in Hebrews 11:34, we wax strong. See? So if I went to a doctor and I know why I have pains in the chest, that's very helpful. Because I can take the proper provision and proper medication. If I know what's causing the pain, it is very helpful. Well, why isn't this truth? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, psychologically, in the unconscious, subconscious, and conscious mind. It is. It's extremely important. And it's also very crucial to realize that when we get into the principle of Andres and Eloses, or Eloses, we understand that when that ganglionic process takes place, Satan takes advantage, just like he does if a person will not forgive in 2 Corinthians 2:11. He takes advantage. And Andres gets into the unconscious and cooperates with the magnetic forces through the air and the electronic waves. And they come in to try to short-circuit a person's nervous system and short-circuit their emotions so that they almost cannot function. Then this tremendously affects a woman's hormones, her body, her thyroid, and it affects a man in a much different way, and I'll go into that another time. Now, when the Holy Spirit supernaturally, by grace through faith, somehow gives a revelation in Rema to cleanse all of that out and to begin to have the amazing motor fiber nerves and the synapses and the whole process. And finally, while it's just knowledge, that's all it is, it's just theological, all of a sudden, because you love somebody and loved them and loved them and wouldn't let them go, and finally the love is transferred and it takes over the magnetic forces, the electronic waves, the chemicals, and some of the cells that have been independently disjointed, not because of sin, but because of the reality of relevancy and the amazing processes that we have just expressed. So in closing, God's whole process is and always will be, I will never leave thee, nor ever forsake you. So as I understand that, that means whatever your name is, whatever you're going through, and I'll go with you always to the end of the world. I'm not justifying failure, but I'm explaining why some of it exists. And if we understand this, I didn't mean to give you all kinds of terms today, except in their relationship to the whole man. So when Paul said, I pray God, that your spirit, then your soul, then your body. You could be right in your spirit and right in your soul, and your body could give you a terrible time. And then you start condemning yourself, blaming yourself. And certain Christians would reinforce it, that it's you. But I'm not going to play God in people's lives. And I'm going to believe the best. and pray and help and never forsake the worst person in the world, but only be available to impart something that they desperately need under certain conditions. Father, bless these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen.